2 of the Nightcap here on VSiN, live from the Circa Sportsbook. And I would say this about my partner in crime here, Matt Holt. Doesn't get all that animated when he loses bets. I do. I'm not a good loser. Right now, I'm staring at this Suns game. Suns leading by 6 right now over the Heat. So that's
after being stuck 12 in the first quarter.
I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying that portion of this. Oh, that's going to be a charge. But
did they call charge?
There might be something.
Yeah, they did.
I might have found something that drives me more insane than charges in college basketball.
Men on second or JJ crap on it.
What is his name? You keep calling whoever came in for the White Sox. You're not happy.
His name is Garrett Crochet.
So we have this just epic pitcher's duel, which is awesome.
Yes. Oh, but I like slugfests.
Yeah, you know what's also great is when you get two dominant starting pitchers going out there, and Shane Bieber with men on first and second gets out of a jam in the bottom of the ninth on the road. It's great. That's great. That's great theater. Walk-off homers are cool too, but we get this awesome moment. Scoreless game going into the 10th. Hey, let's put a guy on second base like it's summer league ball. What are we doing? What are we doing? This is major league baseball in a scoreless game.
You know what I don't know?
You're putting a dude on second base?
Legitimately, I'd never looked to see how this happened. So when that guy from second scores, It's an unearned run. Yeah. So lucky
but you
for Mr.
Still,
Crochet.
But you can still get the decision. So if he was the only run to score in this game, it would be an unearned run to your guy, Crochet.
Yeah.
But he would get the loss.
But Crochet didn't just stop there. He gave up more than
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why it's 2-0. And that's why you're upset because you have the White Sox, what?
Plus one and a half. Yeah.
See?
Give up 0 runs
in 9 innings.
It ruins everything.
It ruins everything.
Yeah. This was a fun game, too. I mean, we're almost always watching NBA this time of night, and we couldn't take our eyes off that game. Both starters were so amazing.
Also, because I'm nervous to look up and watch this
Suns
game.
I am too.
It's 56-49. The Suns do lead the Heat in the closing minute of the first half. The Portland Trailblazers, a 45-39 lead right now over the Boston Celtics. Taking a look inside that box score. Jason Tatum quiet so far, just 4 points. Kemba Walker actually playing. Well, that's big for Boston. I was listening to a podcast earlier today talking about the Celtics, and they've always had this issue these past couple of years, whether it had been Gordon Hayward and just his unable to stay healthy and how highly paid he was, and then they get off that contract. They bring in Kemba Walker, which seemed like such a smart move to bring in. I was all in favor. Go get Kemba Walker, sure. And he just hasn't really
at the
fully
time with
clicked.
What was available, I agree that that move did seem to make sense.
He was an all-star in Charlotte. He took a little bit less money to go to Boston, and he just hasn't been playing all that well. How about Carmelo Anthony, man? I don't know what fountain of youth he has been swimming in, but I feel like at times, every time we're in here late night, he's hitting some threes. Carmelo Anthony's got 2 threes tonight. He's got 12 points. He's leading the Blazers in scoring right now, midway through this second quarter.
What would you give me for odds that he ends up leading them in scoring? He's done it a couple times.
-400
on the no.
Yes.
That he doesn't end up.
Yes, that he does not. No, +400 on the no.
Yeah. No. I mean,
+400 on the yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
On the yes.
I'm still focused on the Suns here.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got a future in odds making.
Not bad. I wouldn't have bet either side.
Tell you
there.
What, Aaron Oster's got a better future of odds making. He always,
Aaron's
when
good.
We were projecting those college hoops ones, he was always right on that number.
I will say he's been the best of the three of us lately, but I'm a little disgruntled with him right this second because he came in here rooting against me.
I know. We're supposed to be team synergy.
I know.
Here.
I don't know what happened there.
We're off to the half. Don't hit this. Please don't hit that. Okay, so halftime, Suns up 6.
Good half.
Over the Blazers. Let's get it rolling, hour 2. Matt Holt in our little rejoin there is trying to yell at Aaron, our producer. What do you think that second half? So at halftime.
So the Suns were a 3.5-point favorite pregame.
Yep.
And now they're up six.
I would say second half line, I would say, will be Phoenix plus two.
Okay. What do you think, Aaron?
He can't really talk to us, but.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go. Well, I could say what he said.
Okay. Is he in your ear? What did he say?
He didn't say anything.
All right.
I'm going to go with.
He's got his two fingers up. Yeah, two fingers. So he's with me.
Okay. I'm going to go Miami a half.
Just a half?
A half.
All right.
Yeah.
So let us know when that pops.
Okay.
It is halftime, 56 to 50. I like this little game we do. Sometimes spur of the moment.
Two feels a bit aggressive.
Those are the best. Well, then you're getting.
But it does put it right back on
the number.
Yeah, it puts it back in the number.
But you stick to your guns. You've got a little more experience than we do from behind the counter. One game that we haven't mentioned, Utah. But what I didn't recognize the magnitude of what we witnessed last night. The Utah Jazz had won 24 straight games at home and lost to the Wizards.
I know.
And got hammered by the Wizards.
It was 109-90 at one point in the fourth.
That was a losing bet that we had.
Yes.
Yeah, that was we went second half. We were a little aggressive in the second half on the Utah Jazz, but they're bouncing back. But
that's close to the number. They closed 16-point favorites, and they're up 15 with four to play. It's right on the number.
Yeah. And we saw with Phoenix last night. They were up big, and they had 81 at the half against Houston. And if you had Phoenix last night,
didn't come close to covering.
You might have taken the heat tonight just out of anger because you were up 23 at the half, 81 points against maybe the worst team in the NBA.
I think it's yes. And Orlando's fighting for it now.
And you need to cover a 12. Whoa.
Bless you.
Sneezing. And you need to cover a 12, and you don't even get close. Game ended 6.
Second half lineup, Phoenix Suns, a pick'em, 107.5.
Man, circle gets the square. Good
circle
job.
Gets the square.
Well
tonight.
Done. Matt Holt gets the victory there. Even though everyone overbid, so Price is Right rules. We were all losers.
Yeah. That's an interesting second half number, pick'em.
I would actually lean towards the Heat. I like that in the sense that the odds makers have watched this game and said, it's a pick.
Miami was so red hot shooting threes earlier. That was unsustainable, Phoenix.
So that makes me feel happy. I'm sorry. I'm not happy that I lost our little exercise, but I'm happy at that line.
Yeah.
That line makes me happy. We just need them to win. Suns, get it done. Get the money line victory and make me happy heading into heading into a little vacay, nothing like going from 80s into mid 50s in Connecticut, because that's what we all should do for vacation.
I love mid 50s in Connecticut for vacations.
We were just talking about Denver. I want to hit on a couple other just little nuggets about the. I didn't even try to make that a pun.
You couldn't have done it if you didn't try.
I want to hit on a couple points about the Nuggets, who are now without Jamal Murray, and where the odds have shifted to. And we have a graphic from BetMGM using their odds and how they adjusted today after the loss of Jamal Murray. And I'll be honest.
Was that the least aggressive?
And that seems like one of the least aggressive.
It's the least I've seen.
The Westgate Superbook went from, I think they were 16 yesterday, to 100-1. And nobody, who's going to bet the Nuggets?
And we said nobody's going to bet them at 100.
No, yeah, no, absolutely not. John Ewing tweeted this out. He works for BetMGM. And he said, with Jamal Murray out for the season, the Nuggets NBA odds chain championship odds went from 16 to 30-1, which is really not aggressive whatsoever. Nuggets were the biggest liability for BetMGM.
BetMGM may be the only happy people that, the injury happened to Murray.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know who's happy, and they won't say it? The Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes.
And we kind of hinted at this yesterday, and something that I've been talking about on this show is when you think about the Lakers and the road that they were likely going to have to go through to repeat as champions was going to be absolutely
brutal.
Brutal. Because prior to this little run here, this road trip for the Lakers, which, by the way, they won tonight as a 1.5-point favorite. So the Lakers continue to tread water. And on this road trip, Matt, we looked at it last week and we said, oh boy, this is going to be brutal. They're not going to survive this thing. So going back to their win over Sacramento, it was the Clippers last Sunday, and they got smashed by the Clippers. Then they went to Tampa to play the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they went off as a short favorite. I can't remember. Whatever it was, they won that game, which was huge. And then the biggest one of them all was they went to Brooklyn on Saturday night as a double-digit dog and mopped the floor with the Brooklyn Nets. So this road trip, this East Coast road trip, so far 5 games, it's done. They now return back home. They play the Boston Celtics on Thursday night. So a 5-game East Coast road trip, no AD, no LeBron James. They've had a couple other injuries they've dealt with. Kyle Kuzma's been banged up. They went 3-2. I mean, that is massive for the Lakers. And as we look up at the score, and this game's going to go back and forth, but if Portland loses tonight to Boston, which I certainly hope they don't, but if Portland loses to Boston tonight, Matt, that's another game for the Lakers to hold off Portland. Right now, as of this moment, they're 2 games ahead of Portland, holding down the 5 spot. They're only a 1/2 game back at Denver now with no Jamal Murray.
And they have to be a huge favorite to catch Denver and pass Denver.
Right. So in all
Denver's in real trouble of losing. You know, we were saying, wow, they're going to be a great 4 seed. I'd be surprised if they didn't fall to at least the 6 now.
So the Lakers still do have a pretty challenging schedule. The Clippers have an easy one. Utah, I believe, is the easiest schedule left in the league. But for the Lakers, your mindset right now has to be, let's just get in the 4-5 game. Because we get in the 4-5 game, we're either getting Denver without Jamal Murray, or Portland, who can't play defense.
Yeah.
And that is a great spot because the Lakers, assuming health, will win that, I think, pretty comfortably, Matt. I think they win that series in 5 games or 6 against Denver, 5 or 6 against Portland. It's not a grind, slugfest, because we were thinking for a good chunk that they could drop to the 7 seed where you're playing, first off, you're in the play-in.
So yes.
You're playing
Dallas, whoever.
Golden State, maybe, whatever
it may be.
So whatever. It's just a nuisance to win that game. And then you're playing Phoenix or the Clippers. And then if you win that, you're playing Phoenix or the Clippers. Now, I'm not saying that Utah's a cakewalk. They're not. They're the number one seed, and rightfully so, and they have a great home court advantage. But the gauntlet of bang, bang, and bang.
It's not 3 tough series anymore.
It's now 2.
Yes.
And not to say that they were cheering for Jamal Murray injury.
I don't think anyone was cheering for him to get hurt. But
injuries, the injury has benefited, in my opinion, no team more than the Los Angeles Lakers. Because now Denver, in theory, could drop out of the 4 spot. They get home court advantage now for the first series, potentially. With fans. Fans will be in the stands by then. You get a banged-up Denver team who has the league MVP, but without Jamal Murray, there's no yin to the yang. They're going to take advantage of that, the Lakers will, with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Or, once again, maybe Portland gets hot, and the Lakers aren't scared of Portland.
No, and they couldn't have. Yeah, I'm with you that the Lakers aren't scared of Portland at all. Portland plays no defense. They're fun. Lillard and McCollum could have one of those games where, you know, they go for 70 combined and Portland wins, but Portland cannot beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. I mean, even a 5-game series, 7-game series.
They could beat them in a couple. They could beat a game.
They could win
2 games,
yes.
But, you know, that's not happening. So, and think about it, too. I mean, the Lakers, especially when LeBron and AD come back, once again, everything is assuming full health, which they may not have. But I'll also say this. Let's say they're not fully healthy, but they're getting there. A easier round one helps them continue to get healthy. And we know how spread
out. And take some of the pressure off on the minutes those guys would have to play right away.
And maybe you win that series in 5 games.
Yeah.
And now you've got a couple, you know, you've got about a week off before the second round starts. So this injury to Jamal Murray benefited no one more, in my opinion, than the Los Angeles Lakers. And if you're holding a Lakers future, I mean, the price has been so short on the Lakers, and it's really never been of a value. But I feel like if you are a Lakers future holder, you're feeling better today because once
maybe
again,
the best you felt in a month.
Well, first off, you've gotten good news this week about the return of AD and LeBron.
Yep.
Going to happen in a week or so. Secondly, the Lakers went on a five-game East Coast trip where they were an underdog in, I think, four of the five games and won three, including a game over Brooklyn.
Yep.
With KD on the floor. So you went 3-5 on a 3-2 on an East Coast road trip. You have a two-game lead over the Blazers. Could be 2.5. If they lose tonight to Portland, Jamal Murray goes out to a season-ending injury, so they're going to be trying to figure things out. You're only a half game back at Denver, and now if you're in that 4-5 spot, you're more than likely avoiding the Clippers until the Western Conference Finals. That's assuming they get there. So, yeah, this is the best-case scenario because last week before this road trip started, Matt, in my mind I said, at best, the Lakers are the sixth seed. And then you're looking at a series against the Suns or the Clippers, and then the Suns or the Clippers, and then the Jazz. And that's just gonna take a toll on this team. And now if they're the four seed, they get Denver or they get Portland, they should easily win that series. And then you're looking at the one seed, which will be a challenge, but you're a little more rested. You've played more together. And the Jazz certainly can't love that. Having a Lakers team maybe full go and decently rested heading into the Western Conference semifinals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that is it's kind of crazy, the dominoes. And just to go back to Denver, man, it really...
And neither one of us was saying that Denver was going to beat the Lakers in the first round. Just that it was going to be a tough, competitive matchup that forced the Lakers to go all out to beat them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean... That was, you know, the Nuggets, they kind of ran out of gas. You know, think about the Jazz series last year in the bubble. Then they beat the Clippers, came back 3-1 down. They were out of gas against the Lakers. They would have been fully rested, you know, fully ready to go. They would have, you know, and I think the Aaron Gordon acquisition prior to the Jamal Murray injury was maybe the best move of the deadline to help your team get better.
I agree.
And they had started, what, 8-0?
Yeah.
With Aaron Gordon. So I think they were legitimate Western Conference contenders, fully healthy. And to see Jamal Murray go down, I know that he wasn't having a great year, you know, analytically and looking at everything. But at the end of the day, this is a guy that went for, what, 50, 42, and 50
yes.
in three straight playoff games. He has that big moment, Gene. And when you're running pick and roll with Nikola Jokic, the league's MVP this year, that's not an easy task. Even if Jamal Murray's having a subpar season per his standards.
Yeah, absolutely. It really took away from what has been the most compelling Western Conference race maybe in like 20 years. I mean, it is so fun. It's so loaded. There's so many teams. And even though you have a pretty substantial favorite in the Lakers, I mean, you could have made a case for Utah, Denver, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Is that all these teams, and suddenly you just take one out of the equation, and because of what it does for the favorite, the Lakers, it kind of throws the whole thing into, oh, man, you know, it's a bummer, really.
It is, yeah. I mean,
you know what else is a bummer? When you bet on a team, +1.5, they give up 0 runs in 9 innings and lose, but that's what the White Sox did tonight.
Yeah, what was the final? 2-0?
2-0. Yeah. Oh. 2-0.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Shane Bieber does get the win.
Deservedly
that,
so.
Deservedly.
I mean, he was awesome.
He gets the win. He struck out 11. Big strikeout at the end of the bottom of the ninth on a breaking ball. So Shane Bieber gets the win tonight. Just his first win of the season. And the Indians win a classic. A classic that is tainted in my mind because there was a guy on second base to start the top of the 10th inning. I always thought if they were gonna mess with this rule, let the 10th inning be pure and then try this stupid. Is this the thing that is bringing younger people to the ballpark per Rob Manfred?
Yeah, I know.
And facing three batters as for relievers. April 13th baseball game on a night where we've got the number two team in the Western Conference against the reigning Eastern Conference champs. We've got the Portland Trail Blazers, Damian Lillard going up against the Boston Celtics. And we couldn't keep our eyes off a baseball game. The White Sox and Indians in April.
And had they have won the White Sox tonight, assuming Detroit holds on, I think they're up 7-1 in the ninth. Yeah. It would have literally been all five teams in the Central would have had five wins.
Wow.
Yeah.
My bet to win the World Series is now 4-7. The Atlanta Braves lost 14-8 today.
And they got they gave up a bunch of runs back-to-back nights to Miami, a team not known for being able to hit the baseball.
Max Fried has now an 11.45 ERA to start
the
season.
That's worse than Madison Bumgarner. Wow. I didn't know there was anybody out there worse than
Mad Bum-esque there.
Wow.
A bit of a crazy night. The second half underway in Phoenix. We'll get you updated on the Suns and Heat on the other side. It's the Nightcap here on VC. Shield my eyes. Keep looking up. Suns lead by 6 right now over the Miami Heat. Both Matt and I on the money line as our eyes drift up all throughout the evening.
Yes.
With this game, don't let Duncan Robinson shoot wide open threes. Oh, he missed. All right. We have another game to play. We were both, well, you got the victory. Both Aaron Oster and I predicted that the second half line of Miami and Phoenix would be Miami -2. Phoenix was leading by 6 pre-flop. They were 3.5, and it was a pick. So that was good news. We like that. Right now it's 63-57. Portland leads Boston 60-57 right now in Portland. Pre-flop, Portland was a 1-point favorite. I'm going to say pick. What is your prediction?
Boston won.
And?
It is -0.5 Boston. Although here is the one pick in town right now, but it's you got to lay 120 with the Celtics.
So I'd say a draw.
Yeah.
I'd say we
actually, there's another pick now. South Point. Pick -15 on the Celtics.
South Point. They usually don't juice anything.
I know. It's pick 15 right now. Yeah.
So second half, both Matt and I on Portland, not as strong on Portland, but we were both on Portland tonight. We both laid the one. That was a spot we liked for the Trailblazers. And I tell you what, that first half pretty much went as expected. Second half, second quarter, they slowed down a little bit. 49 total points. So a first half of 117 points. I'm going to check what the first half line spread total was. It did
go
over.
That's the total in the second half, 117.
117.
Yeah.
Pre-flop.
Oh, it did go over.
First half went over. Yeah. It was 113. And actually, 117 puts it right on the number.
113 actually doesn't seem that high for those two teams.
It doesn't. 230 was the full game. So I guess they shaded it a little bit towards the first half being
more
of an under. You know, I cheer for Duncan Robinson like every single game because he started his collegiate career at a D3 school. Jay Crowder, dude, you're not Steph Curry. Please stop shooting threes. It was blocked. But Duncan Robinson, remember how he was in the bubble?
I thought it was an airball too. I was like, wow.
I cheer for him every time, but not tonight. No open threes for Duncan Robinson. Let's not allow him to have wide open looks. The Phoenix Suns, which is what has been driving me crazy as they attempt yet another three. And this time he does airball it and nothing. They are 8 for 30 from three. For the love of everything. Please stop shooting threes.
Don't pull up for three. Oh, my goodness. He's not dribbling too well.
All right. We got to stop staring at this game. It's going to drive us crazy.
It's not going
to
be good.
Phoenix leading 65-60 right now over the Miami Heat and really enjoying shooting three-pointers tonight. Devin Booker's 1-for-7. Jay Crowder's 1-for-6. So that's tremendous. 1-for-13 for two starters combined between the Heat and the Suns. Taking a look at the prop bets for these particular games. Jimmy Butler, pretty quiet so far. Just 10 points in this one for the Miami Heat. He's 3-of-11 from the field. That doesn't make me feel great because usually when your best players are struggling, they'll figure things out. So his over-under tonight was 21.5. Bam Adebayo sitting at 7, his over-under at 17.5. Then looking at the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, just 10 points, 3-of-12 from the field, as I mentioned, 1-for-7 from 3. That I like. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of a resurgence here as he has 10 points. Looking at that board, really nothing jumping out. Chris Paul has just 5 points. DeAndre Ayton. Cash it on DeAndre Ayton, 15 points for DeAndre Ayton, and he's getting close to his rebound total of 9.5. He is sitting there with 8 rebounds, so DeAndre Ayton having a solid
sort of an unheralded first pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton, and that year, but I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be, I don't know that he's ever going to be great, but I think he's going to be solid for a decade.
Yeah, and what's going to be unfortunate for DeAndre Ayton is I agree with everything you said. Luka Doncic was in that draft.
Oh,
and you think about if Luka Doncic was with Devin Booker in that backcourt, oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
So as he might be very solid, but you're looking at a generational player potentially in Luka Doncic who got drafted later on in that draft.
And Ayton probably is gonna go to zero all-star games.
Right.
Yeah.
Leading scorer for the Blazers, Norm Powell. Strong finish to the half. Mm-hmm. He has 15 points. So my odds of
talk about good pickups at the deadline. That was a good one.
Maybe the second best pickup there, getting him from Toronto. 3-point lead for the Blazers. It's a pick 'em. Second half, Boston and Portland. We'll talk some NBA Rookie of the Year. On the other side is the Nightcap here on VSiN. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering all the early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action, they're heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap. Tim Murray and Matt Holtz sweating out the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. It has not been a pretty shooting performance by either team in this game. The Suns right now are 9-for-31 from three. They just hit a three a moment ago. Cam Johnson, the pride of UNC, the only thing that's keeping us alive here. And the Miami Heat are 8-for-30 from three. It has not been pretty down there in the Valley of the Sun. So thankfully, the team, the opposition of our bet, is also shooting poorly.
Yes.
This would not be that enjoyable.
It's not good when only your team is shooting poorly.
I mean, I would prefer our team be shooting well
and
them be shooting 9-for-31. And so 70-65 is the score there. Second half about to get underway momentarily in Portland. 60-57, the Trailblazers leading the Boston Celtics. So we'll get you updated on that. Earlier today, the Minnesota Timberwolves got smashed in the makeup game from last night. Losing to the Nets 127-97. Anthony Edwards in this game kind of doing what Anthony Edwards does, which is get put up decent numbers, but not very efficiently. 27 points. He was 8 for 22 from the field, 2 of 11 from 3, had 8 rebounds. I know plus minus isn't really a great stat that people really like to look at. Stop turning the ball. This third quarter is ugly. This is awful.
For both teams. Yeah.
But Anthony Edwards remains the favorite to bring home the Rookie of the Year. And this is just kind of one of those years where, similar to what we saw in the MVP race, now the difference is Nikola Jokic is absolutely a rightful recipient of the MVP, but initially it was going to go to Joel Embiid. He gets hurt. Then it was going to go to LeBron, and he gets hurt. And now it's going to go to Nikola Jokic, who, by the way, once again, 26, 11, 9. I mean, his numbers are tremendous for a top four team in the Western Conference. Can't really say the same about the Rookie of the Year. What you have is LaMelo Ball was going to win this thing. He was 16, 6, and 6.
Was going to win it running away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. He was, I want to say, like minus 1,000.
It was high, yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was his. Now, you could still make a case for LaMelo Ball. The issue is for LaMelo Ball, no one at the percentage of games that he has played, which I believe will end up being 56%. The lowest winner was Patrick Ewing, around 61% of games played in their rookie season and to earn Rookie of the Year. So that's what LaMelo Ball has going against him. So when you look at the numbers for Halliburton, Ty Halliburton's just been solid. He's been very solid for the Sacramento Kings. Not anything extraordinary, but solid. And we're going to show you a graphic here in just a moment. Or actually, we won't, but I'll just read you the numbers. So for Anthony Edwards, 54 games played, 17.9 points per game, 4.4 rebounds per game, 2.6 assists. But here is something that is telling, is the PER, 12.2. Very low. Halliburton, 48 games played, 13 points per game, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and the PER sitting at 16.2.
Almost a steal and a half a game, and he's great on the defensive side of the ball.
So when you look at PER,
I guess the problem with Halliburton is you'd be talking about giving it the Rookie of the Year to a guy who's only started, 14 games?
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow. It's just one of those years.
So PER, for those who don't know, it is the player efficiency rating. The top player in the NBA is Zion Williamson at 28.42.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been remarkable. And you have to go quite a ways. So scrolling down, and then you hit Ty Halliburton, who's 85th. Got to keep going.
Anthony Edwards isn't even in the top 100, right?
Nope.
Wow.
Going.
Wow.
Anthony Edwards. This should be, there he is. Anthony Edwards, 194.
Oh, my gosh. Favorite to win the Rookie of the Year.
His raw, and that's what I think ultimately is going to really hurt him, because we've now come far enough with the voters where they fully embrace
analytics.
Advanced statistics and analytics, as they should. And right now, just going back to today's performance for Anthony Edwards, he had 27 points. Well, Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play. We obviously know Russell's out.
How many shots did he take today?
22.
Oof.
Made 8. 2 of 11 from 3. He was the only starter in double figures. D'Angelo Russell, he did play today. Actually, he came off the bench. He had 15 points. He had 20. It feels like what the Timberwolves are doing is saying, all right, man, go get your award. Go get Rookie of the Year. And I just
strictly on a volume basis.
I just don't know if it's going to be rewarded. Once again, it might be it's not like Ty Halliburton has been lighting the world on fire, but efficiently.
Well, he comes off the bench.
And he's got 13, he's got 5 assists. I would tend to believe, if I were to make a bet, by the way, I want nothing to do with this. I'm not going to make a bet on it.
No.
I know JVT, and we'll talk to him at top of the hour. He's made the case that wait until the very end, and maybe LaMelo Ball gets it. I saw him, you know, he was on the floor tonight.
I need a little more than 200 plus 200, yeah, though, to bet LaMelo.
If it gets in that 5-1 range, okay, right before the end of the season, maybe it's worth a flyer. But I feel like at that point, you'll have heard from enough voters who have indicated that, hey, he hasn't played in enough games.
Correct.
I don't know. That's why I want nothing to do with this, because Edwards should not win this award.
No, and look, Minnesota's terrible. Sacramento's not very good, even though and Halliburton's coming off the bench on a team that's 10 games under 500. What really separated LaMelo is when he was playing well, Charlotte went on a run.
Yeah.
I think they got as high as the 4 seed in the East at one point.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So we'll talk more about that with JVT top of the hour. But up next, we'll revisit a little more NFL draft discussion. And, man, Chris Cooley did not make me happy to start the show. We'll discuss what he said next right here on the Nightcap. When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. More at Indeed.com/credit. Third quarter coming to a close in Phoenix, and the Suns leading 79-72. Let's finish strong here, Phoenix. There we go.
Yeah, nice bucket.
Let's finish strong.
Yeah.
Put them to bed. Let's go night-night. Once again, we're not greedy. Need a win.
Yeah.
Put it on the money line. Off the next couple of days, it'd be nice to walk off with a little victory. Portland, let's check on the Portland game.
It was 76-70, yeah. 6 minutes to go third. Okay. Last score I saw.
So 6-point lead for Portland, this would be nice.
Yeah, I like adding that on top of it.
All right.
I'm trying not to get greedy because the Suns is obviously the bigger one for both of us, but the double whammy sure would be nice.
It would be nice as we're getting the
especially
final
after
here.
You know, it would be karma for what happened in the Shy Sox game.
83-72 going into the fourth quarter. Don't want to get too excited. Suns
nice
have that 11-point lead. All right, here we go. Let's feeling good. You know what didn't make me feel good?
The White Sox game?
No, that didn't make you feel good.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't see the end of it. Aaron Oster was letting us know that
almost tied it.
Yeah, it was 2-0 in the bottom of the 10th, and a deep fly.
Jake Lamb,
deep fly, just came up short.
Yeah,
so 2-0 the final score, and what was a tremendous pitcher's duel. Shane Bieber, 11 strikeouts, doesn't throw a complete game technically, but he did. He threw 9 innings.
Yeah,
he had a shutout. Doesn't in the stats, but. You know, that's why, not to go down a rabbit hole, we were just talking about, you know, Anthony Edwards and his numbers, and thankfully there's analytics. I'm not all in on the analytics train, but it's a very important thing. It's nice to have both, right?
Yes.
You know, you have to, you can't go blinders and go solely on analytics, but you can't go completely away from analytics.
Well, I think it's important to understand that when you're doing something that has a net negative
right.
expected outcome time and time again, then that's probably something you can work on changing.
And it was a couple of years ago when Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young. I want to say he had a losing record.
13-15, I
something
think.
Something like that. Yeah. It was 12-13, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he deserved it. He deserved the Cy Young. Yeah. And Shane Bieber does get the win tonight. But, you know, if the new rules don't apply of the man starting on second base, who's to say that the Indians get a run in the top of the 10th? He gets a no decision. You know, in the stats for the season, it's not a complete game. It's not a shutout, and that's why you have to look at everything. And that's why wins, in my opinion, are one of the dumbest statistics out there. A couple years ago, Lucas Giolito, who's great
yes.
now,
yep.
but a couple years ago, he was the worst starting pitcher in baseball, had an ERA north of 7, and I think he had as many wins as Jacob
with Washington, right?
No, that was when he was, it was first year as a full-time starter with Chicago.
Oh.
He had 10 wins. He had as many wins as Jacob deGrom, who won the Cy Young going away.
Wow.
And that's why wins are one of the worst.
Yeah, in baseball they are, especially now.
For starting pitching, it might be the most meaningless statistic.
It used to mean something when the starter went an average of 7 innings, but now that your average starter goes like 4 2/3, wins certainly mean a lot.
It's been criminal over the years, the run support that Jacob deGrom gets.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
And he's not the first guy.
No. But he's, I mean, his numbers these past couple of years are historical. I do want to get back to the NFL draft, and I was joking about Chris Cooley, who joined the show, former NFL tight end, played his entire career with Washington, and a number of those years, 4 of those years, was with the Shanahans, was with Mike Shanahan as the head coach, and Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator, and Kyle is now the head coach, of course, of the San Francisco 49ers, and Matt, what was so interesting is, you know, we've been...
I'll tell you, he convinced me that Mac's going number 3.
He convinced me, too, and I don't feel great about where I stand. And to be clear, he didn't say, and Chris just, for I've gotten to know him post-playing days. I work with him in Washington. Aaron Oster, our producer, knows him quite well, too. We worked at the same radio station. And he just says what he believes, you know? And what he said was, I think, was really important to put into perspective when you think about betting on who's going to be selected by the San Francisco 49ers. And he said, look, I'm paraphrasing. The 4 years I sat in the meeting rooms with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator, Mac Jones is the type of quarterback he wants. And he even brought up the fact that Kyle Shanahan reworked an offense. It worked exceptionally well in 2012 with Robert Griffin III. But what he said he wants from a quarterback is a guy who gets the ball out quick, is decisive, isn't going to make any mistakes, and is getting to get the balls into the hands of playmakers. And Justin Fields, you know, what I said yesterday was, you know, Justin Fields is a high-ceiling guy. Mac Jones is kind of a high-floor guy, maybe low-ceiling. But it certainly seems like all of these mock drafts that come out from the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Mel Kipers, the Todd McShays, they all have Mac Jones going 3.
Mac Jones, yes.
All those guys, their job is to evaluate, but it's also to talk to decision makers. There's a reason that Mac Jones continues to fall there at number 3 in all of these mock drafts out there. The PFFs of the world, the draft networks of the world, who just look at tape and don't necessarily talk to front offices, they believe it should be Justin Fields. I believe it should be Justin Fields, Matt. I think, from what I saw, but when you hear Chris Cooley say, who played under Kyle Shanahan for 4 years, say Mac Jones is the quarterback that he's going to want, that's kind of telling.
And I think that most people agree that Mac Jones probably, you know, he has a much higher floor, but maybe a lower ceiling. So even if Justin Fields does have the higher ceiling, I do think it's a safer pick for San Francisco right away.
Yeah, and what it comes down to is the San Francisco 49ers were a Jimmy Garoppolo good pass away from beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
And winning the Super Bowl.
Yes. They have playmakers. They have Debo Samuel. They have Brandon Ayuk, who they spent a first-round pick on last year. They spent a second-round pick on Debo Samuel. They have the second-best pass-catching tight end in the NFL in George Kittle. They've got playmakers. And if what Cooley was saying is true, and I tend to go to his insight over mine, they just want a quarterback who's going to make
the
right
throws. And he said it very nonchalantly. Yeah. Like, look, at the end of the day, Fields isn't ready. Lance isn't ready. You don't trade up to the number 3 pick to take a guy who isn't ready. It's going to be Mac Jones. And I just went, boy, that just made too much sense. Grab the phone.
and he seemed very high, too, on Trey Lance. He liked the prospect that Trey Lance was. And I thought that's where he was going to ultimately go when we asked him. And in the way he was starting that answer, I was like, oh, he thinks it's going to be Trey Lance.
I actually thought he was going to say that, too, for a second.
And
I
then
was like, ooh.
It just kind of all came full circle where he said, I'd put my money on Mac Jones. So that's where he stands. We do, by the way, have that prop bet you were talking about yesterday, different spots have now come out with it. BetMGM, DraftKings, and William Hill have all come out with offensive players drafted in the first round.
I love the defensive here.
So if you like the defense, you can get under 18.5 at -105 at William Hill.
I got even at William Hill. I played it at William Hill and got even.
Wow.
Last night. Yeah, I really like under 18.5. It's just, it's so rare, but this tends to happen. So usually it's a dead pick 'em, and then the price moves toward offense because everyone's, the narrative is always the quarterbacks, the receivers, the running backs every
and
year.
And it is going to be an early rush of offensive players.
Because, oh, for sure.
Because you're going to get Lawrence, Wilson, Jones probably.
Pitts. Yeah.
Sewell, Chase. I mean, you're not going to get a defensive player. Hopefully Patrick Surtain is that defensive player.
So pick 5 at the earliest?
No.
Pick 6?
No. I think pick 8, 9. Because the way it looks right now.
Oh, pick 6 is going to be the offensive lineman probably.
Right now, it's going to be 1, Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson, 2 to Jets.
Yeah.
Quarterback 3 to 49ers.
Okay.
Probably Mac Jones.
Pitts.
Falcons likely going to get Pitts. Bengals, I think, will get Penei Sewell, but I think they go offense regardless. Dolphins are picking offense. Lions, that's where you may get a defensive player in there, but a lot of people think they get a playmaker at wide receiver. Maybe they get a quarterback, too. 8 could be a defensive player, Micah Parsons. And then I think 10 is the absolute floor. Cowboys are getting a corner. I think they're getting Surtain. Maybe they're getting J.C. Horn. I think 10, Cowboys get a defense, but they were such a disaster defensively. So you're absolutely getting a defensive player at 10, maybe 1 or 2 prior to that. But, yeah, you're probably going at least the first 6 picks, probably 7 without a
– But I think a lot of mocks I saw
– And then it's going to pick up.
Yeah, had like 5 of the last 6 picks being defensive players, including 4 of the last 6 being corners, I think.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is if you get this rush of offensive players to your bet, there's going to
be... I wish they had it in play.
There's going to be, yeah, right? There's yeah. going to be a lot of quality defensive players available at the back end of that yeah. draft for teams to grab. But, you know, it's a weak edge class. There's not really great edge rushers. That's, you know, that's been in the discussion. Solid corner class. But we'll see. Right now, you've got... Over under 18.5 is where we stand on offensive players to be selected in the first round. BetMGM is shorter. So if you like the over, you could really pay a lot of juice and go over 17.5 at BetMGM at -165.
Wow.
So a couple differing numbers out there. Portland leading by 2 over the Boston Celtics late in the third quarter. Fourth quarter action, Suns and Heat. We've got some sort of review here. Goran Dragic dropping an elbow on Cam Johnson. So, you know, for our bet, hopefully this is some sort of flagrant.
Yeah, flagrant.
So we will see. JVT also going to join us top of the hour. Stick around. It's the Nightcap.